Okay. Would you turn in your Bibles then to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you and I made it a priority every day to encourage those we live with and those with whom we come in contact with during the day, it would head off a lot of problems before they got started. It would also enable us to see things in proper perspective, and it would help us to put several characteristics of love into practice. Now, the wrong way to take this message is to get more sensitive about other Christians' failures or perceived failures to encourage you as you feel you ought to be encouraged. What other people do or fail to do should not affect your attitude, nor should it affect your commitment to do what you know God wants you to do. The right way to take this message is to realize your duty to obey the Lord in the matter of encouraging others and to rejoice in the blessings He will send into your life as a result of your consistency in encouraging others. Let's read our text then to begin. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Therefore, what does God command us to do? Encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. There's a command there. So first of all, it's important to understand what true encouragement is. Perhaps the best way to do this is to contrast it with what I call false encouragement. You've probably heard me mention that before, and it is a real thing. False encouragement weakens the one being encouraged, whereas true encouragement strengthens the one being encouraged. False encouragement inspires self-pity and excuse-making, whereas true encouragement inspires courage to meet the difficulty with Christ's strength. Philippians 4:13, I hope you can say it with me, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. False encouragement commiserates, in other words, is miserable with. That's what the word actually means. Com means with, and miserate means to be miserable. Okay? So commiserate means to be miserable with the person. It fosters dissatisfaction with circumstances or relationships. Whereas true encouragement comforts, exhorts, and encourages the person. It fosters contentment with God's will and assurance of God's perfect plan. The Greek word translated encourage in our text this evening, 1 Thessalonians 5:11, is parakaleo, meaning to come alongside and help. And that's what true encouragement does, and that is what the Holy Spirit does. He's called the parakletos. Or, sorry, Parakletos. I'm reading the Greek, sorry. So he's the one who comes alongside to help. So that verb is totally related to the noun, and that noun is what we call the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the one who comes alongside to help. Our next point will illustrate this principle. False encouragement focuses on the person's weakness, inability, or difficult situation. Oh, yes, I can see how your weakness makes it so hard for you. That's commiserating. Whereas true encouragement focuses on God's character and ways. It isn't, you know, oh, don't worry about it, hey, let's, you know, no, but rather you understand the person's situation, but you also point them to the Lord. Yes, that is hard, but, you know, God says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So let's look to Christ. I'll pray with you. You know, that's true encouragement. True encouragement points to God's love. Yes, this situation is hard, but God loves you and will never forsake you. Romans 8:35 says, "Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" So it's a rhetorical question. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing and no one can. So that's a reminder that God loves you and will never forsake you. Good one to memorize. Hebrews 13:5. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So those are two wonderful verses that remind us that he will never forsake us, and he loves us that much. True encouragement points to God's power. Yes, the situation seems impossible, but nothing is impossible for God. Is that true or not? It's true. And so it's important to remind others of it, remind yourself of it. By the way, you can encourage yourself. You understand that, right? Okay. Look in the mirror and encourage yourself, okay, with what you know from God's Word. Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. Another good reminder. Romans 8:28. You know that one. Hope you've memorized it. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. There's so much in that verse, but just the main point there is that he is in control and he's working all things for good, ultimate good. You want to put ultimate good there, because sometimes the current situation is like, how can anything like this be good? Okay. How can cancer be good? Well, ultimate good. So, all right. True encouragement points to God's goodness. Yes, what you have experienced doesn't seem fair, but God is good, and he will bring ultimate good out of all this for you. Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. And Romans 8:28 again. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. True encouragement also points to God's forgiveness. Yes, you have really made a mess of your life, but God promises that he will forgive if you repent. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, that is, call it what God calls it, and confess that to him, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're covering all sorts of things that could discourage us, whether it be our own sin, whether it be a helpless situation that you're in, whether it be persecution from others, whatever it may be, God always is the answer. His love is always the answer. Now that we understand what true encouragement means, is there anything keeping you from encouraging others? Sometimes self-preoccupation will keep you from encouraging others. Are you too busy thinking about yourself and your own problems to think of others? Here's what God's Word says about that, Galatians 6:2. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Can anybody tell me? Love one another. There's the law of Christ. Wow, easy. Three words. Okay? That's the law of Christ. That's stated elsewhere. This is Galatians, but he said that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay? Especially John. Sometimes self-protectiveness will keep you from encouraging others. Are you afraid of being rebuffed or misunderstood or unappreciated? I've been there. I got the t-shirt, okay, for encouraging others, and I got rebuffed, misunderstood, or unappreciated. Should that matter? No. Because if you are dead, then whatever people say to you or do to you shouldn't bother you, right? Because cadavers don't get upset, right? Okay, think about it. We're supposed to have died with Christ and raised with him. Romans 15:1-3. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. That's important. Each of us is to please his neighbor. There isn't a period after that. There's a there's something you're supposed to do it for his good, okay, to his edification. In other words, building up in the faith. So you don't please your neighbor because he just wants it. No, you have to carefully pray about it. Is this something that would be good for them and would build them up in the faith? That's important. Verse 3, for even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. May the Lord enable you to die to self and instead reflect his love in your words and attitudes toward others. 1 Peter chapter 3, and then we'll close. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you are called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. Perhaps you tried to encourage others in the past, but you realize now that it was actually false encouragement. You were commiserating, not encouraging. Do you understand true encouragement now? I hope you do. Has God shown you something that has kept you from encouraging others with true encouragement? Will you remove that hindrance by his power? Will you ask God for his enablement to be a true encourager from now on? I hope that you have learned the difference between true encouragement and false encouragement. False encouragement commiserates and doesn't help them. It just is one more person being miserable with them. That's not helpful. True encouragement is pointing them to Christ and his answer. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the scriptures that we have looked at this evening in this matter. And Lord, we're so thankful for your promises. We're so thankful for Romans 8:28 and others, where we know that you love us and you're in control of all things that are happening, that anything that we go through that is difficult has a good ultimate purpose if we will trust you and respond in a Christ-like way to the situation. Help us to trust you for your enablement. And Lord, I pray that instead of looking at ourselves, we would die to self and look for ways to encourage others. And Lord, I pray that you would use us to be true encouragers this week and this month and the rest of this year. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.